Today on Real Radio.
But I would not worship a God who would cause me to be insecure. Because that's what the world does to us with its little gods, you know? Not our Heavenly Father. In fact, He's the one that says, I want you to call me Father. Why? So that you and I would sense His security.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called What Christians Believe. We're in a series within a series, if you will. It's called What Christians Believe About Salvation. Now, of all the biblical passages known to the masses, if you will, John 3:16 is probably, what do you think, the most familiar? That's what my guess is. You know, we may have memorized it as a child. We see it displayed in crowds at sporting events. But do we really know what it conveys? Exactly what does it mean to believe? That's the focus today of pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now as he continues in his mini-series called What Christians Believe About Salvation.
You believe in morality. In fact, you're quite proud of that morality. And you look down at others and you say, well, God, I'm thank you. I'm not like that guy right there. And look at her. Oh, Lord, I would never be like that. How could she do that? And you can always tell those kind of people when somebody, you know, oh, you know, I didn't know what I was doing and this happened. And the listen to her whining. She doesn't know nothing. You know, I don't know why she can't be more like me. That's arrogance and pride. A serious thing breeds insecurity. Number 8, do you understand His willingness to comfort us regarding salvation? His willingness to comfort us? He's so willing to comfort us that He paints us a picture. And the picture looks like this. In John 10:27, we read it earlier. My sheep hear My voice. I know them. Does He know you? And they follow Me. And I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand, said Jesus. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. You've heard Me say many times, and I'll do it again. In my other Bible, not this one, I have a picture drawn of Me in my Bible. Yeah, I'm a little stick figure, and I'm looking at, you know, out of from the page this way. I got a big smile on my face, and I'm laying in a hand. That's Jesus's hand. And then I'm sandwiched with another hand on top of me. So just my head sticking out and my feet on the other end with a big smile on my face. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that I'm in His hands and in the Father's hands. That is a Salvation Jack sandwich. Listen, I am in His hands, Jesus. I am in His hands, the Father. I ain't, and ain't is a real Hebrew word. It is. I ain't, I'm not going anywhere. Now watch. If I want to backslide and disobey God, according to the Bible, I can do that. I'll suffer consequences. But I will not fall out of His hand. He will never leave me or forsake me. Even if I backslid and went to places and did things I ought not to do, He won't leave me. He will not leave. His commitment, His willingness to comfort me, even in my backsliding. Any of you backslidden?
Yes, Pastor. Right.
You know how miserable it is to be backslidden, doing stuff that you know you're not supposed to be doing? You know why you're so miserable? It's because you're saved, man. And you're trying to sin, and it stinks. You can't do it right, and it's like, oh, man. And your friends go, are we having fun now? And you go, you're lying. Yes, we're having a blast. And you're like, it's not a blast. This is terrible. I can't stand this. You can't even sin right anymore. Why? Because you're saved. You're in His hands, and you're wiggling, and you're rebelling against Him. Look at Israel. But God said to Israel, I'm married to you. God said to the prophet, I'm married to the backslider. Did you know that? God says he's married to you. Are you backslidden? That's why your life's so miserable. There's nothing worse on this planet than a backslidden Christian. They're having the worst time ever. They're not excited about heaven, but they don't want it. Hell either. They don't want the world either. And they're just, they got one foot in the world and one foot, and they're all messed up. You need to come back to the Lord and enjoy his comfort again. Comfort breeds security. Number 9, do you understand his commitment to you? His commitment to you is unwavering. His commitment. Listen, so committed is the Lord to our assurance and to our safety and our security that it comes down to what I wrote today, 8 basic things that God's people have in common. Are you ready for this? You want to do a little test to see if you're a Christian? It's this, just 8 things. Christians that are going to heaven, they're sheep. They're not goats, they're sheep. They don't eat what goats eat, they eat what sheep eat. They're sheep. Jesus says, my sheep, hear my voice. That means when God says what he says in the Word of God, the Bible, when you read and when you hear his word, it strikes true to your heart. You know that it is your food. Why? Because you're one of his sheep. Number 2, your life is fruitful to some degree. Fruitful. There's things going on in your life. The Holy Spirit is working fruit out of your life. Now, if that's not happening, then you are backslidden. And you need to do a self-evaluation, as Paul said, examine yourself to determine whether you are in the faith or not. But are you being fruitful? How about this? Put it in a different way. Are others blessed by your life, and or are others dependent upon your life spiritually? Number 3, as corny as this sounds, a lot of people make fun of this one. It is true nonetheless. They attend church. Sheep flock together. It happens to be called church.
Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved.
That's true, but what are you so upset about? You have people tell me, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I met some lady the other day at Costco, and hi, Pastor Jack, how you doing? I'm fine, how are you? I haven't been to church in 2 weeks. That's the first thing she said. I haven't been to church in 2 weeks. I laughed on the inside, it cracked me up. I meet people, hi, how are you? I'm fine. You know what? Didn't need to know that. But then there are people that just, I used to go to church. I don't need to go to church now. Okay, fine. All right. But if you notice that God's people, they love to be together. And church is one of the great places. In fact, it's commanded in obedience in Hebrews 10:25. For us to not the forsaking of the gathering together of the brethren, as some have done in the last days. Of course, you don't have to go to church to be saved, but I have just found that the saved go to church. Oh, save your letters. They pray. Now that we're a Christian, we talk to God. We just wind up talking to God. See, before we're a Christian, we think like this. We fold our hands, and it's like, that's praying. Looks like we're going to get, shot through a cannon. And you can pray like that. That's fine. But now as Christians, don't we just talk to him all day long? Lord, what about this? Lord, how about that? Hey, Lord, you know what? Maybe you want to, and I would like to, and in my life, how about, and are you saying this, Lord? Serve others. Christians love to serve other people. Before we were Christians, you know what we wanted? Serve me. Remember that? Serve me. Now that we're Christians, we find total fulfillment in serving others. It's very, very neat. Okay, what number was that? Well, I'm going to give you another one. Worship. Worship. Christians love to worship. But they do. It's just in our blood now to worship. I already gave you love, right? Oh, pray. Gave you prayer. Next one's love. They want to imitate Jesus in this world. There's this strange thing where you get this this prompting by God to love even your enemies. Go figure that one. Remember what we used to do to our enemies before we were Christian? Now, somebody's an enemy and it's like, you know what? I don't know why I keep thinking about this lady or this man, and he or she can't stand me, but Lord, I'm just going to pray for them. And God, and you should wind up caring about them. Christians do that. And it amazes us, the Christians, the most. How could that be? But it's God. And then this should be number eight, or there should be eight of them. And that is that we abide in Christ. Did you know that? And you might be saying, I wanted to find out about that right there, about this salvation thing. The Bible says that if I abide in Christ, I'll be saved. Pfft, how about this? When you believe, doesn't the Bible tell you in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ? By the way, the word in Greek means once and for all. One time into the body of Christ. I'm not talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's different. I'm talking about being baptized in the body of Christ. That's once and for all for every believer. In that instant, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit under the day of redemption. Okay? Well, the joy about this is that if we are these things, if we're sheep, if we're fruitful or fruit producing, because that's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, okay? You will abide in the Lord. See, many of us have gotten this thing in our minds that I've got to abide. It's something I do. I've got to work at abiding. What are you doing over there? Don't talk to me. I'm abiding. What does it mean? I'm dwelling with God. I'm dwelling with God. Hey, you want to come? No, I'm dwelling with God. Like they're walking a tight wire. Don't talk to me. I'm abiding. Listen, the Holy Spirit will cause you to abide. The Holy Spirit will cause you to bear fruit. The Holy Spirit will cause you to be a sheep and eat sheep food and be sheep-like. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God in you, the hope of glory. It's not how good you can do this and how faithful you can be at that. That stuff flows out of the Spirit's possession of our lives. How are we faithful servants of God? By the Holy Spirit. Because we are sealed by the Spirit into the day of redemption. And so the wonderful, comforting thing is this, that I will abide in Christ. I'm not worried about abiding in the Lord. I say, Lord, in the morning like you do, Lord, cause me to walk in your will today. Lord, take my life, use it to your glory, bring whatever interruptions you want, change my schedule, do what you want to do, God, I'm yours. My friend, I don't know what else to add to that regarding abiding. You talk with him all day. You're serving him at your job or in your home. You're abiding in him. I don't worry about it. It's going to happen. And do you understand? Finally, we close with this number 10. That should be 10. I'm not going to count these over again. This is number 10. Do you understand his enduring faithfulness is this way to us? So faithful is God. Listen, some of you are going to freak out over this in a second. Go ahead and freak. That's kind of cool. God is so committed and absolutely so dedicated in his enduring faithfulness to get us into the kingdom of heaven that he puts up with a lot of stuff. You say, well, Pastor, you know what? There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 6. It says something like this, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, that if they should fall away, to renew them again in repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. The point being, people will say Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6 is all about a person losing their salvation. It means the exact opposite. Many of you have been tormented by this verse. Paul is writing, I believe it's Paul who wrote Hebrews. He's writing to who? Hebrew believers. Do you know what they were saying? They professed to know Christ and to receive his sacrifice on the cross. Then they got bored with it all. And they went back to Judaism. And they went and got a little lamb and sacrificed it and put it on the altar. They walked away from the faith that they professed to hold to. And they went back to their works, not faith. What they did was they said they believed in Christ, but as time went on, in fact, they only tasted of the heavenly gift. They only tasted of the good word of God. They only experienced the external manifestations of the Holy Spirit and fellowship among others. Do you know what they did? They wound up saying, this Christian stuff's kind of goofy. I'm going back to my old traditions. They were never saved to begin with. Well, what other proof do you have about that? Oh, it's so simple, and we'll end with this. It's Matthew 13, beginning at verse 18. Let me read it to you, and then we'll be wrapping this up. Matthew 13, 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower, said Jesus. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. Hebrews 6, 4, 5, and 6. This is he who received the seed, that is the word of God, by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. We've all seen people like that. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. How long is for a while, anybody? We don't know. The point is, he doesn't last. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Listen, this is heart number 4. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. In Matthew 13, out of the 4 hearts that are spoken of by Jesus, only one of them is a Christian. Only one of them produces fruit. Yeah, some little bit, some medium, some 20. God has called you and I as a Christian to be faithful to what we're to do. The question is this. See, are you saved? Well, I believe in Jesus. That's not what I asked you. Because all these, Jesus went on to say in Matthew 13, these are they who believed for a while. Do you have faith in Christ tonight? My friend, if you're born again, you cannot be unborn again. If you're saved, you cannot be unsaved. If you're redeemed, you cannot be unredeemed. And a lot of people want to argue about the meaning of these words, and I know this one man who this, that. You know what? We don't know nothing except what the Word of God says. And this is what it says. All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the truth of the matter is this. I can show you a plethora of scriptures that bring me confidence and security in my salvation in Jesus Christ. And you know what? You can't show me any verse that says I'm going to lose all that. The question always has been and always is and shall be, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? If you do, is your faith active in your life? It will be active in your life because the Lord is at work in you. both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Christians Believe About Salvation. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at what Scripture says about what it means to believe in God, the Son, Jesus Himself. What Christians Believe About Salvation. That's the name of this mini-series as part of Pastor Jack's larger collection of topical studies called What Christians Believe. There's plenty more ahead, so join us again on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's time for my favorite section of the week, the segment we call Ask Pastor Jack. By the way, if you've got a question that's burning in your heart, maybe a worldview, maybe something to do with your walk with the Lord, why don't you send it to us at askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, Pastor Jack, this one comes from Wesley, and Wesley was looking at Acts chapter 17, verse 30, where it says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Now, Wesley asks, does this mean that God allowed the people of the Old Testament times to be forgiven based on their ignorance?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
First of all Old Testament believers were forgiven based upon the structure of forgiveness that God had given in the Old Testament. That is blood atonement. You were to approach God regarding your sins with the blood of innocence.
Okay.
That's laid out throughout the entire Old Testament.
Yeah.
The amazing thing that was taking place in the book of Acts, he's specifically referring to what we're doing on our worldview series on Wednesday nights. And we're taking that portion of Scripture. When Paul the Apostle arrived at Athens, he was a little bit ahead of his missionary team. He was waiting and took a walk. And he says so. The Scripture says so. And as he's walking through Mars Hill,
yeah,
which hosts the Areopagus, he's looking around on the avenue. And I've been there. It's an amazing location. He sees all of these gods that the Greeks worshipped. And they were very superstitious about gods. They didn't want to offend any god.
Yeah.
They didn't want to upset any god. They wanted to make sure that they worshipped all the gods. And so to cover all the bases, they had a pedestal. And there inscribed on the pedestal, it said, to the unknown god. Everything else had statues, but then there was an empty pedestal.
The just in case. Yeah.
Let's you know, exercise our pantheism and cover everything. And
right,
we don't want to offend a God that we may not be aware of, which is interesting. Paul sees this and he says, hey, everybody, that's the God I want to talk to you about. The God that you worship ignorantly, you don't even know.
Right.
I want to talk to you about him. He's the one that made it all. All these other gods, nothing. Kaput. Zip. This is the God I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
And when Paul brings that message, he is announcing that during a time of ignorance, such as you guys have experienced,
yeah,
remember, Bible students, everything has to be understood in context.
Okay.
The Greeks were worshiping gods ignorantly. Paul's attempt to introduce them to the true God, he says, up until now, God has put up with, he has allowed, he has contended with, as it were. He let you get by being ignorant.
Right.
But now it's all changing. The gospel's arriving to Athens. The gospel of the cross, the gospel of Christ, the grace of God is being preached. And now, imagine this, now that this is going out, there is a very specific way that you now are to come to the God of all creation.
He's putting up a road sign.
He's putting up a road sign.
Right.
He's posting the speed limit now.
Right.
Up until then, they didn't know what speed they were going and how fast or slow because nothing was posted.
Right.
In fact, listen, a great thing for you to do is to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, it speaks about regarding the gospel arriving to you, what you should do with it, and Romans chapter 1. When the gospel comes and enlightens you, you are now responsible for what you know. God is saying through Paul, up until now, God's not holding you fully responsible for what you didn't know, though all men know they're sinners.
Yeah.
Thus, there's religion in every culture.
Fair enough.
But now that you do know the truth, come to the truth, be forgiven, and experience the salvation of God. That's why the Scripture says, up until now, God has allowed or winked at, as the old King James mentions, are put up with this time of ignorance, but no longer. Why? The gospel's arrived.
Right.
The gospel has arrived.
Okay, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, the gospel has arrived. Why don't you send us an email? askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. One more time, askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.